Good evening, everyone. Glad to see you out tonight. Let's all stand together, and we're going to sing It's Just Like His Great Love. Let's all stand together, sing out tonight.
A friend have I called Jesus.
Tonight, we're going to stick with the theme of love and sing about love lifted me. Amen. I was seeking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore.
I was seeking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Love lifted me when nothing
Have a word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful for love that lifted us, that Jesus lifted us, Lord, out of dead sins and trespasses, and give us a new life, our God, to glorify. We pray that you would bless the service tonight, Lord. The songs have already, you've blessed them, Lord, and I pray that you'd bless Tony as he sings, Lord, in the missionary letter, and help me as I preach tonight, Lord. I pray that your name would be honored and glorified. We pray that you'd be with our preacher tonight. Bless him, Lord. Help us I to get better. Be with Joanne in hospital, Lord. Pray your mercy upon her. Yes. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I have a missionary letter here tonight from the Jones family up in Rankin Inlet. That's up in the Arctic. And they're writing, and they are sweltering in the heat. It is 20 degrees Celsius up there. But you got to realize, you know, wintertime, it's minus 40. So that's a 60 degrees difference. So, yeah, they're enjoying those summer days, and they're so short. But he says here, on June the 3rd, their eldest daughter, Haley, graduated from high school. And they were very happy that she could even though she was homeschooled and really was educated at home, they allowed her to graduate with the high school nearby and be a partaker of that ceremony. So they were thankful for that, and praise the Lord that she could be with them. And she has taken a year off school, and she's kind of just asking God for direction for her life. And so we want to pray for her tonight as she seeks God's will, what God would have her to do. They talk about going to a Beacon Bible camp in Uranium City, Saskatchewan. They went there for 3 weeks, and they were able to get there because the Wings as Eagles Mission Air Service was able to take them from the Arctic up in Rankin Inlet and fly them south to Uranium City, Saskatchewan. And so we hear a little bit about, you know, some of these mission programs that we support and what they're doing and how they're blessing other missionaries, enabling them to get around in such a place like the Arctic where you just can't get in your car and drive anywhere. So we thank you for that. They were able to do that, and while they were there, they were able to work with junior high kids, and praise the Lord, four young people come to know the Lord as Savior. So we praise the Lord for that, and I'm sure that's an encouragement to their ministry, to knowing that God's using them for people to get saved. They do talk about an upcoming furlough. coming up this fall, and they are leaving the Rankin Inlet on September 18th, and they're going to be traveling through North America for their furlough, gaining support and visiting, supporting churches. And they have a young missionary family that's coming to take their place. So we praise the Lord for that. That's important. Missionaries need to go on furlough, and they need someone to take their place. And so we praise the Lord for Jim and Myra Wright, who take it upon themselves to go up and to go up to the Arctic, okay, and be there for them for the winter, and to do that work for them while they're away. So we want to pray for Jim and Myra as they do their work there and are helping them, the Jones family. And then they do have a need, and we just want to pray for them about this need. When they get back to do their furlough, they need a van, a 7-passenger minivan, either a Dodge Caravan or a Ford Transit, something like that, that they can fit their family in and their luggage and be able to travel around. They did have one lined up, but it didn't work out. And so they are looking for something, and we need to pray about that, that God provide that for them, so they can travel and do what they need to do. This letter will be up in the back, and you can read it, the whole thing, for yourself. But let's take some time and pray for them tonight. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our dear God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for the Jones family. Thank you for their sacrifice to go to the Rankin Inlet in the Arctic and to give themselves to minister there to the dear people. And Lord, we just thank you for their daughter, Haley, who graduated and was able to have a part in the graduation in the local high school. Lord, what a blessing that must have been for their family. And Lord, we pray for Haley tonight that you would just give her direction in her life as she seeks your will. And Father, wherever that might be, Lord, maybe she'd be a blessing there to her family for the next year as she stays home. And then, Lord, we just pray for your guidance for her. We also pray, Lord, for these young people that got saved through their ministry there at camp. And Lord, we pray as they back to their home churches, Lord, we pray that they would follow the Lord, grow in grace. And Lord, we just pray that you'd bless them. And may the gospel, even if they're not, if the families aren't saved, the gospel might reach into their families and they would come to know Christ as Savior. And then, Lord, we just thank you for Jim and Myra Wright, this dear couple, willing to go and just to stand in the gap, so to speak, to fill in that place while they're away on furlough. And Lord, just bless them, giving their time and their energy to help out there. We pray you'd bless them. Lord, may they just be strengthened and given them wisdom as they are filling in that place and preaching and dealing with the people there. So Father, just bless them. We thank you for them. And dear Lord, we do pray for this family that's going on furlough. We just pray that you give them journeys in mercy as they travel on the highways, Lord, and bless their family. And Lord, we pray that as they go to churches, giving reports and maybe seeking new support, we pray you supply their needs and just bless them day by day. And Lord, we do pray that you'd provide that van for them in some way. Just show your power and your ability to meet all our needs and their needs as well. So Lord, thank you for this family. We pray you'd bless them. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.
Just before I begin my song tonight, I just wanted to thank you for Master Club Ministries. And your prayers through the ministry has been a great help. It's guided my thoughts. The theme that we'll have for this year is Teach to Reach. And we want to reach boys and girls. But I really appreciate the prayers that you've put into Master Club. And, of course, we covet your prayers for the rest of the year when we begin in September that will continue to guide. Above all things, we have the whole Bible. We have the Word of God in our hands. But we need wisdom to use it rightly, to how to handle that sword and properly give out the gospel to these boys and girls that they might receive eternal life. The thing that we enjoy very much so. And again, I thank you for your prayers. This song's about thanking you. Maybe you've put out a lot of effort over your lifetime. And many times, you know, you work and you work, and you don't seem to see the fruit. But it's never forgotten. The Lord always sees everything we do, especially in his service.
I dreamed I went to heaven. You were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, then someone called her name. You turned and saw this young man. He was smiling as he came. And he said, "Friend, you may not know me now." Then he said, "But wait. You used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. One day you said that prayer. I asked Jesus in my heart. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave." Then another before you, he said, "Remember the time a missionary came to your church. His pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave. That's why I'm here today. Was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave." One by one they came, far as the eye could see. Each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I'm almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus stood before. He said, "My child, look around you, for great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed.
Thank you, Brother Baker. Would you take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. It's so good to be here tonight and to be able to preach the Word of God. I'm just humbled at the opportunity to be here to preach tonight. If you would pray for Camp Yes, Pastor McLean is there all week. be in prayer for him and the workers. We took I took 15 out there Monday on the bus, and one girl, Faith Foster, she was so excited, her first time going to Camp Yes. And we got about halfway there, and she come up and she said, "Pastor Paul, how many minutes is it to Camp Yes?" And I told her. She came back 5 minutes late. "How many minutes is it to..." And then she came back again, and it's not like, "Are we there yet?" It's changed now. It's how many minutes. They see the iPhone, you know, and the GPS, and but they're just as excited as before, so be in prayer for that. Aren't you glad you're saved tonight? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I'm humbled, Lord, at your presence here tonight. Lord, the singing, and we pray, Lord, that you've blessed me tonight, Lord. I can't do anything without you. I need your filling, Lord. I need your Holy Spirit power. And Lord, I empty myself. Lord, would you empty me of self? And forgive me for sin, Lord, and pride. Just bless the message tonight, Lord. May you speak to our hearts through your word tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The title is, "Fear Not, Little Flock." Fear not, little flock. And the text is Luke chapter 12. And beginning in verse number 27, up till this point, there was a story, that a parable that the Lord used about a rich man that was a fool. The ground of his farm increased in goods. And he said, "What am I going to do with all this stuff that I've got? I haven't got room for it." He said, "I'm going to make bigger barns and put all that stuff in there." He didn't think about anybody but himself. It was I, and he put all that stuff in there. The Lord came to him that night and he said, "Thou fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee." Then who's all these things going to be? Can you imagine? I don't know what time the Lord came to him, but he had time to consider. It's too late for him. The Lord says, "I'm coming tonight, and your soul is going to be required." And then he tells the disciples and the apostles, "I don't want you to be like that." And in verse 27, takes place right after this. And it says, "Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." In the ground, in the root, they're naked. But when they grow, they're covered. And the Lord covers them. And he says all the glory that Solomon has is not to be compared to this lily. "If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, the inhabitants of the east to this day make use of dry straw, withered herbs, and stubble to heat their ovens. How much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind." A doubtful mind is anxious, suspense. "For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." I don't know about you, but I don't need anything tonight. I've got everything physically that I need, but I need more of God. I don't know about you, but I need more of God. Psalm 23:1, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." We don't need anything. He said, "You don't need to seek these things. I'll supply all your needs. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." The kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost according to Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. Sell that ye have and give alms, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. So take care of the needs that you have, the needs that your family have, but put aside that money, that extra money that you have, not like that rich man did. Put aside that extra money that you have and give it to the Lord. Give it to His work, and He'll take care of you. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So if your treasure is in heaven, your heart's going to be in heaven. If your treasure is on this earth and seeking all the things of this earth, that's where your heart is going to be. What am I going to get next? The theme, to put your trust in Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. And he says, spare not, fear not, little flock, because you're saved and you have a bishop and you have a shepherd that takes care of you. On our trip to Israel in 2014, we had a guide who was well studied in the scripture. And I asked him a question. I have read where the scriptures say in places that the shepherd follows the sheep. And I asked him if he had some thought or explanation on that. And he shook his head and he said, no, I don't think there is anything to explain that. I did a little more study over time. Amos chapter 7 verse 15 says, and the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel. So I wondered, he's following the flock. And then Psalm chapter 78, verse 70 and 71 says, he chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfolds from following the ewes, female sheep, great with young. So then it starts making sense to me. This is probably when the day was closing, and the female sheep had a hard time keeping up. Those that were young, they're heading to the sheepfold, and the sheep would know how to get to the sheepfold, so the shepherd would go back and make sure that everybody is in line, would know the way to the shepherd's fold, and would follow, make sure that the infirmed and the female sheep would be okay. And I thought, what a picture of the Lord Jesus. How he takes care of us. And he takes care of the infirm and the weak. And he follows them. He leads, but then he follows them and takes care of them. In this same chapter, verse 52 and 53, but made his own people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock and led them on safely. So that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. You know the story when they came out of Egypt and God protected them and the sea overflowed on to the Egyptians. Fear not, little flock. Paul speaks of Christ in the wilderness. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, that took care of their needs. And that rock was Jesus. That rock was Jesus, the Bible says. That was Jesus in the wilderness. Jesus Christ in the wilderness. That's what the Bible says right here when Paul is speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Jesus was in the wilderness with them. Jesus, our Savior, protector, leader. Lead on, O King Eternal. Lead on, O King Eternal. The day of march has come. Henceforth, in fields of conquest, thy tents shall be our home. Through days of preparation, thy grace hath made us strong. And now, O King Eternal, we lift up our battle song. We're in a battle for souls. that people might be saved. Lead on, O King Eternal, till sin's fierce wars shall cease and holiness shall whisper the sweet amen of peace. For not with swords loud clashing, nor roll of stirring drums, with deeds of love and mercy, the heavenly kingdom comes. By caring for people, by loving people, we have an opportunity to witness to people. And we have the authority, by God to witness to people. I witnessed to a person yesterday in the car. He had a couple of dogs there. And I was coming out of Walmart. And I said, boy, you got those dogs really trained. He said, thank you. And I talked to him a little bit. And could I give you a track? He was already friendly. And he said, yeah, I'll take a track. We talked a bit. He says, I don't believe in organized religion. He said, they've made such a mess of things. I said, well, sir, there's a lot of truth to that. But I said, Jesus is the answer. And he said, he's building his church. And the gates of hell will not prevail. You need to look to Jesus. He says, I'll read over this. And I give one to the lady in the store. There's nothing that can stop us if we want to do it. If we want to hand out a gospel tract, they can't stop us. They can say no, but they can't stop us from trying. Amen. Amen. Lead on, O King Eternal. We follow not with fears, for gladness breaks like morning wherever thy face appears. You get up in the morning and Jesus is there. Man, that is wonderful. I'll tell you, what a joy to get up and to know Jesus as your Savior. Yeah. For gladness breaks like morning wherever thy face appears. Thy cross is lifted o'er us. We journey in its light. The crown awaits the conquest. Lead on, O God of might. Lead on, O God of might. Wow, what a hymn. What a hymn. These guys that wrote these things, wonderful. You think they walk with God? My goodness. What a wonderful Savior we serve. What a wonderful Savior. Fear not, little flock. The Lord is in us. The Lord is in us. Hebrews chapter 13. Many of you have quoted this. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So no matter what we go through, he's going to be there. He's not going to leave us or forsake us. Amen. John 14, 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. That comforter is with a capital C. You know that stands for the Holy Spirit. He's the comforter that comforts us in all our infirmities and all the evil that comes upon us. He comforts us. John 14, 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That's Jesus speaking. He says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to come to you and dwell with you. He that has the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. We have Christ in us, the Holy Spirit in us, God in us. Amen. John 14, 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him. That's God the Father and God the Son, you know that, and make our abode with him, and make our abode with him. Praise God. Wow. The Lord has commanded us. He's in us, and he's commissioned us. Mark 16, 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, do it on purpose. Do it on purpose. God will bless you. Larry and I were out last Thursday, I think. And we're knocking on doors, and one guy listened to us, and he said he's an agnostic, and he didn't believe in God, but he believes in the power. And he says, I haven't put a name on it. And Larry and I said, we put a name on it. It's Jesus. He's the power. And he listened, and we gave him a gospel track, and he was friendly, shook our hand. And then we went to the next place. This guy didn't want anything to do with us. He was sitting out on the garage, sitting on a chair. And then so we went to the next one. And this guy over here, he comes over to the other guy, and he says to him, I don't think that he knew that we could hear him. He said, those two guys are out thundering out the word of God. I said, praise God, I've never heard that one before. We're out thundering out the word of God. We weren't preaching louder, and we're just giving out the word of God. He says, they're out thundering out the word of God. I said, hallelujah, praise God, let's do some more thundering. Woo! Come on. Preach! The Lord is so good. He has commissioned us. Turn to Matthew, chapter 28. I know you know this chapter. Matthew 28 and verse 18. Father, I pray, Lord, you'd help me. Lord, help me. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power, every kind of power, God has it. Jesus has it. It's given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. I hear so many people say always. I was corrected that years ago. It's not always. It's always. That's like the shepherd. He's in front of you, and he's behind you, and he's beside you, and he's on the north, and he's on the south, and he's on the east, and he's on the west. He's all around you. He's inside you. He's with you always. Everywhere you go, he's with you. The light of the world is Jesus, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. God is so good. The Lord has given us an open door. He's given us an open door. Turn to Revelation. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. And verse number 7. Verse number 7. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 7. And the angel of the church of Philadelphia, this name means brotherly love. Many of you know that. A city known to have many earthquakes. And one completely destroyed Philadelphia before it was rebuilt by Tiberius. The city may have had an idea that God is really who he said he is before they got saved. Their town was shook up to be destroyed. Don't you think that when God spoke to them that they would turn? That's what maybe we need, some earthquakes here in Canada to shake up our nation, to shake up our people, that they would turn to the Lord. The Lord has not changed. He can use us just like he used other men. Fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock. God can use you like the Apostle Paul. His name means little. Paul. That's what Paul means, little. Janet teases me about that all the time. She said, you know what your name means, Paul? I said, what's it mean? She said, little. And then she starts laughing at me. But maybe the Apostle Paul was little. I don't know. He may have been little in stature, but he wasn't little in spirituality. Oh, man, he wasn't little in getting the gospel out. We have the gospel here because of the Apostle Paul. That man that said he was the chief of sinners. And I can't doubt that. That's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Maybe he is and was the chief of sinners. If he can be saved, anybody can be saved. The Apostle Paul with men that were accused of turning the world upside down. Oh, that we at Bethel would be accused of turning Simcoe upside down. Oh, praise God. Wouldn't that be great, Wanda? Hallelujah. and set, and then the Jews which believe not, and set the city of Thessalonica in an uproar. They said, these men are telling all these lies, and he got all the people upset and turned the city up in an uproar. Oh, that our places were turned into an uproar. Acts 17. Like Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, that when getting a glimpse of Jesus, he says, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the house of unclean people. And then there was brought a live coal to him, to his tongue, and touched his tongue, and he was made clean. The picture of the blood of Christ. So he was humbled, and his sin was taken away. And being humbled and forgiven, he was ready to proclaim the word of God. He said, I'll go for you, Lord. Who will go? He said, I'll go for you, Lord. And he said, how long? Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. That would be like today here at our church. Until there was nobody here, everyone was gone. The last person you preach to, they're gone. That's it. Until the city is bare and the streets are bare, there's nobody here. Preach the word. Preach the word. Like the two on the road to Emmaus, that when Jesus expounded the word of God to them, had their heart burn within them and end up being endued with power of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost and spake boldly the word of God. They had a burning heart in them and they couldn't help but speak the truth concerning the word of God. We need to get a hold of God like that. We need to get a hold of God like they got a hold of God. We need to get a hold of God like Isaiah got a hold of God, like Jeremiah got a hold of God. He said, I can't keep it in. I can't keep it in. He's got to let it out. Got to let the word of God out. We have to let the word of God out. Like at the when Jerusalem, in the beginning of the early church, Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Wow, that's some kind of prayer meeting. I've never been in a prayer meeting like that where the place was shaken. Maybe my soul was shaken a bit, but the whole foundation of the place was shaken. God moved in and shook them up. And they were assembled, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. They weren't afraid to go out and proclaim the word of God. They had the authority to proclaim the word of God. They had a commission to proclaim the word of God. If you have that commission from God, you can speak to anybody that God leads in your way. It doesn't matter who it is. You can talk to them about Jesus. Oh, help us, Lord, to do that. Fear not, little flock. Like the church at Philadelphia that Jesus commended and gave them an open door, the key of David. Verse 7. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. The key of David. David had the authority over Israel to let in who he wanted and to expel who he wanted. He could have somebody killed if he wanted to. Nathan came to him with that story, what David's sin was. David didn't know. He said, that man will surely die. David was going to see that man, he had the authority to have someone put to death. Shimei was cursing him when he was running from Absalom. And one of his soldiers said, let me take a sword and go and cut off his head. David had the authority to have his head cut off. He said, no, if that man is cursing me, it's probably because the Lord put him there. But he had the authority the key of David. And this church has that kind of key where David opened and no man shutteth and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Has little strength, but they had an open door to go out and proclaim the gospel. And if we have little strength, we can still tell people about Jesus. If we're in hospital, we can tell someone about Jesus. Joanne Norris, I was up there Monday, and I had some tracts in my pocket. She says, Paul, can I have those tracts? I forgot some at home. I said, absolutely, you take some. She wanted to here's a lady that had a heart attack, and she's not concerned about herself. She wants to tell people about Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's what we need. Tell people about Jesus. Regardless, we've got a mouth, we can speak. So glad we had a mouth during COVID. We could still tell people about Jesus, how they can be saved. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. I think, really, this is talking about the tribulation period. The hour of temptation. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from God, from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. When we think, no, that person's not going to listen, we look at that person and we judge them. I can tell by their face they're not going to listen to me about Jesus. I can tell by their demeanor that they're not going to listen to me about Jesus. We don't know that. God says to tell every creature, tell everybody about Jesus. God has given us the authority. He's allowed us. What a privilege to tell someone about Jesus. Like that song, you'll see somebody in heaven because you told them about Jesus, and you might have forgot all about it. You led some Sunday school boy or girl to the Lord. Or maybe there was three or four or five, and you get up to heaven, and there they are rejoicing around the throne. Saved from a burning hell. Saved for eternity, that they don't have to go there. Sin will send you to that awful place. We've all sinned, and we're all under condemnation. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. He's a free gift. He's offering it to everybody. It's his. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but mine. It's exclusively through Jesus, but it's open to all. Anybody that calls upon Jesus can be saved. Anybody that calls, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We have a tender Savior who loves and cares for us and has given us the command, commissioned us, given us authority to preach the gospel to all people. Fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock. God is with you. In 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 27, it talks about the Syrians filled the country. There's going to be a battle take place. And Israel was like two little flocks of kids. And God took care of the battle. God took care of the battle. Fear not, little flock. God is with you. We fear. The word fear not, is don't be alarmed. Don't fear exceedingly. And the flock here is a group of believers. He's the great and good shepherd that takes care of the flock. Fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock, here at Bethel Baptist Church. God is in control. So we're small when you think about Canada, that, 39 million, 40 million We're small. Maybe we're 10%, the Christians. Maybe 10%. We're small flock. Fear not, little flock. I'm with you. I'll take care of your needs. I'll bless you. And he does. Amen. We're going to have an invitation. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. You're here tonight. Maybe you don't know the Lord as Savior. Maybe you haven't trusted him. Nobody's looking around. Nobody's peeking. This just between you and me and the Lord. And you say, Pastor Paul, I'm not saved, but I'd like to be saved. I'd like to know where I'm going to spend eternity. Are you like that? Would you hold your hand up and say, I'd like someone to show me from the Scripture how I can be saved, how I can know that I have a home in heaven, how I can be with Jesus? Anybody? Thank you. You could take out your bulletin, and we'll go through a few prayer requests.